so hard in cleaning the church and painting and just fixing up. We're trying to do all we can here to improve our house of worship. So I want to thank those of you that worked so hard this week. Amen. Especially want to thank those that showed up for prayer Monday night. Praise God. It was about 11 of us here praying, and all those that were in attendance praying, it was something special here, and they all said, hey, we want to be back next Monday night. So, you know, if you don't have anything really all that important to do, and I don't think there's anything more important than praying, and how many knows that prayer changes things? And so if you're available Monday night, this coming Monday night, why don't you just show up here about 7 o'clock, I believe it is. And although Sister Glenn and I will be in Tennessee next week, Brother Amos will be here. Praise God. Right, brother? Amen. And I hope all of you, amen, that's in this church will be starting to come in here and start praying. So, Brother Hayes, what are we praying for? Well, number one, we're praying for revival. We're praying for the souls of men to be saved. We're praying for our children, our grandchildren, our neighbors, those that was once in church that's backslid on God. How many knows God's not giving up on them? And I'm not going to give up on them. So there's a lot of things to pray for and pray about. So be in here Monday night for prayer meeting. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew chapter 24. Praise the Lord. How many is glad to be in the house of God? Matthew chapter 24, somewhere around verse 10. When you find that, say amen. Praise God. Jesus speaking here of the time that we are living in, I believe, speaking of the end time. He said, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Would you bow your heads with me a moment? Heavenly Father, I'm thankful to be in the house of God. I'm thankful for each and every person that's gathered in this room today, Lord. But Lord, this building, Lord, is a place that we come to worship, but I recognize, Father, that we are the body of Christ, that the people is the church. As we assemble ourselves in this place, Lord, we're looking to you, the author and the finisher of our faith, to manifest your glory in our midst. Lord, we're looking to you, Lord, that the holy angels of God would be encamped about us as we enter into this place, Lord, and as we endeavor, Father, to look into your word for the truths of your word. That, Father, when we find the truth, Lord, we know that the truth shall make us free. Free us this day, God, to worship you in spirit and in truth. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Speak to our souls. Speak to our inner man, Lord. God, that we might hear the voice of the Lord. Move by your power in this place, Lord. Not let a person leave this room that's not blessed and lives changed, Lord. And we'll give you the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' holy name. Amen. As we read this scripture, we know that end time scenario is a time of great trouble and distress in all the world. But, you know, when I read about this, I know that the Lord is really speaking to his church. He's speaking to his people. Not necessarily, I believe, talking to the world at large, but he's talking to people that has had an experience with him. He said, and because iniquity or lawlessness shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Sin is rampant today, and I believe we can all agree with that, that everywhere we turn, we see all kinds of evil. We see murder. We see rampage. We see war. We see rumors of war. We see all the things that the Scripture has told us would come to pass in the last days. I don't believe there's ever been a time since the history of mankind like the time that we are now living in. Remind me what Jesus said, that as in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, and the flood came and took them all away, and they never knew what hit them. But as we look at this passage of Scripture, I'm reminded that we need to look at this thing about love. And I find today that, you know, most of the church folks, or at least those that I come in contact with, are having a bit of a problem with compassion. Because iniquity, because of lawlessness has abounded, because people have been hurt, and how many would agree with me? A lot of folks have been hurt by churches and by preachers, and it's a fact. It's just a clear fact that a lot of people have been hurt in churches. A lot of people have been hurt when they try to assemble themselves together and worship the Lord and reach out to God and try to do the best they can. A lot of people, because of a lack of wisdom, because of a hard spirit, because of something in the, not quite right in the hearts of individuals, it's caused a lot of hurt and a lot of pain in a lot of people. And I believe it's because of a lack of real compassion. As I think about Jesus, a man that was moved with compassion, Jesus was about doing good, healing all that were pressed of the devil. In other words, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach glad tidings." In other words, the Father had given him an anointing that would be out and reach out to lost mankind. And when he went about doing good, healing the brokenhearted, binding up the brokenhearted, healing the oppressed, talking to the people that were really in trouble. He said in one place, he said that, those that are well don't need a physician. Those that are not sick doesn't need a doctor. But how many knows he was the greatest doctor that ever lived? He was the great physician. And not only did he go about healing the limbs, those that were bound, those that could not walk, and he made them walk, and the blinded eyes were opened, the deaf ears were unstopped, and the sick were healed in the natural. But he went about also healing the brokenhearted. He went about also not just looking at the outward appearance of man or what the condition of man was, but he was always searching the heart. He was always looking for the inward man and what the trouble was with the inward man. And that's why Jesus was accused of being a wine bibber. He was accused of being a drunk. He was accused of being a person that his friends were sinner folk. In other words, the ones that he hung out with was not exactly the most righteous folks in the world. He didn't hang out with the religious people of his hour. He didn't hang out with the Pharisees or the Sadducees or the doctors of divinity at that time, the lawyers. He hung out with those that needed him. He hung out with those that needed a Savior. He hung out with those kind of people that really needed God. And that's why he called him a wine bibber, because he would hang out with folks that drank wine. He hung out with folks that, man, that might have been sitting on a bar stool somewhere. He didn't go in to be like them. He come in among the people that they might have a great light and hope in their own lives, that they didn't have to live the kind of life they were living. So Jesus was a man that was full of compassion. Not just the compassion of the sick as far as the body, but the compassion of the sick of the soul. And how many knows that's where our real trouble lies today? What good would it be, and I believe Jesus even referred to this, what good would it be for a man who to go into hell, amen, whole, in other words, healthy, what good would it do for God to come and heal a person's body, or heal their from a condition of their body, to heal them from cancer, and them wind up going to hell? What good would it do? I say to you today, amen, the greatest and most important thing that we need to be doing, and the greatest miracle that anyone could ever receive, is the miracle of salvation. And what we need to do in the hour that we're living in is to begin, amen, to find that compassion that I believe every born-again Christian had at one time. Jesus spoke in one place, I believe it's over in the book of Revelation, talking about our first love and how that we need to get back to our first love. And I don't know how many of you in this room and how long you've been saved and if you even are saved. But I can say this, if you ever genuinely had an experience with God, the one thing that you wanted to do, you wanted to tell somebody about Jesus. You wanted to tell somebody about the experience that you had. You might have been a drunk, you might have been a dope addict, you might have been a prostitute, you might have been a whoremonger, you might have been one that stole, you might have been a thief, you might have been a homosexual, you might have been one involved in the worst sins of humanity. But Jesus came into your life one day and set you free by the power of God. And you know what it did to you? It gave you compassion for others. And you know what you wanted to do? You wanted to go to your friends. You wanted to go to the very ones that you used to hang out with, amen. And you wanted to tell them about what Jesus done to you, amen, for your life, hallelujah. Well, see, that compassion, amen, is what drives us today, amen. If we have lost that compassion, if we have lost that which God put in our hearts, we'll never see, amen, a church on fire for God, and we'll never see men and women, boys and girls born into the kingdom of God. It's going to take that same compassion that we had when we were once saved, hallelujah, by the power of God and delivered, amen, to get the job done in the time that we're living in, amen. Religion is not going to be sufficient enough, amen. to do anything for God. As a matter of fact, I believe religion is what's caused men and women to lose their compassion. Hallelujah. Sometimes, well, I believe we become so religious and so sanctimonious and so self-righteous, we don't got no compassion for nobody. We forgot where we come from. We forgot that we were lost in sin. We forgot that we were on the street. We forgot that we were murderers and haters of men. We forgot that we were whoremongers and prostitutes. We forgot that we were hung on drugs and booked up. Hallelujah. We forgot that we were drunks. We forgot the condition that we were in. And when we come to get religion grasp our heart and turn us, amen, we need to wake up today and remember where we come from, and remember our first love, and remember that Jesus Christ was a man of compassion who reached out to a lost and a dying world, seeking to save that which was lost. And if we would do the same in this church, every man, woman, boy, and girl would do the same in this church, you would have a revival. It would shake the very foundations of this town and community. But it's going to take compassion, real, genuine compassion. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was in the world, there's very few religious folk could fool me. They could come with all the words that they wanted to. But when they looked at me as if I was the scum of the earth, I knew what was in their heart. Can you say amen? All those words didn't mean nothing to me. When I seen in the eyes of their soul, amen, and I felt them bad vibrations, hallelujah, that they looked at me like I was a piece of trash, I realized where their heart was really at. I'm telling you, I don't believe Jesus looked at the woman caught in adultery in that way. I don't believe Jesus looked at that woman caught in the very act of adultery as some, amen, old piece of trash. But I believe Jesus looked at that woman with love and compassion and understanding, knowing she was in a trap, knowing she was in a need. Hallelujah. And they were condemning her. Those that were condemning her were actually doing just the same or even worse. Hallelujah. But Jesus looked at that woman with love and forgiveness. Hallelujah. And that's what we need to begin to do. We need to be filled with the love of Jesus. We need to be filled with the compassion of Christ if we want a revival. And if we've lost it, we need to get back, hallelujah, to our first love. We need to do it, hallelujah, if it takes filling these altars with every member of this church and crying out to God, amen, for forgiveness for ourselves because of a bad attitude, because, amen, something that wouldn't rat at us. If it takes filling these altars with every member of this church until we get the love of Jesus back in our hearts, that's what we need to do. I said, that's what we need to do, because I want to see a revival, and I know the only way to have a real Holy Ghost revival is to have the love and the compassion of Christ. I'm going to tell you something, folks. You can feel love. How many knows you can? You don't have to tell me you love me. Matter of fact, I would rather you don't tell me, just prove it. Can you say amen? You don't have to tell me you love me. The people in this church, amen, they don't have to say, Brother Hayes, I love you. I know they love me. You know how I know they love me? It's because, amen, of what they try to do for me. It's because of, amen, when I look into their eyes, I see love there, amen. Love for a man that's about half nuts, amen, to come all the way, amen, to this area, hallelujah. Amen, love for a man that's seeking to obey God because he wants to have a revival. He wants to have a move of God. And I know that you love me, but I want everybody to feel that love. I want that same love to be manifested in the hearts and in the souls of every person in this church. People need love. I didn't have to have nobody come to me when I was in the world and in a mess and tell me how sorry and low down I was. I know that I was sorry and low down. Can you say amen? You were sorry and low down too. You weren't born saved. Amen. You might have thought you were. You wasn't. Now, we were all sorry and low down. We're all shaped in iniquity. We're all on our way to hell. No. We've forgotten where we come from. We might drive down the street and we see somebody messed up. Have you never seen somebody messed up? And when we see somebody messed up, what's the first thought that goes through your mind? Is it a thought of Look at that bunch of trash. Or is it a thought of Jesus died for that person? What is your thought when you see somebody's all messed up? Maybe they're incarcerated because, amen, of some mistake they made. And I would venture to say half this congregation, amen, should be incarcerated themselves because you slid by and got by with something. Amen, you should have wound up in jail for it, but God, amen, somehow had mercy on you, or you slipped by, amen. Come on, come and say anybody, say amen. Let me tell you something. God is a merciful God. God, amen, protected you. God kept you. God, by His grace, amen, transformed your lives, amen, and gave you the sweet Holy Spirit of God, and gave you His Word, hallelujah, and give you a path to follow, praise God, that would lead you into everlasting life. And don't you want your neighbor to have the same experience? Don't you want your children to have the same experience? Don't you want the people, amen, that's once come to this church, that's backslid on God, or went off somewhere else because they were hurt? Don't you want them to be blessed of God and have, amen, the victory, hallelujah, in their heart? Well, if you genuinely do that, and if we get this compassion of Jesus for her, people can feel your love and people can feel your compassion when you talk to them. It'll transform lives. Amen. That's something, amen, a lot of people say, and that phrase is this: talk is cheap. Amen. Those talk is cheap. Amen. We need some folks, amen, that can talk the talk and walk the walk. I said, not only talk the talk, but walk the walk. People, amen, in this generation, amen, they're not fooled by all this self-righteous junk. They're not fooled, amen, by all this religion they see. They're not fooled, amen, by what they hear with their ear. But when they can detect and when they find a genuine Christian filled with the love of Jesus reaching out to lost men, I'll tell you, they're going to respond to it. That's what I was looking for. I wasn't looking for somebody to condemn me. I was condemned already. I was looking for somebody to show me the way, the truth, and the life. My God, God's anointing of the Holy Ghost, it can rest upon you, and you can be a soul winner. I said, you can be a soul winner. A lot of folks come to church, they want the preacher to do it all. No, we're a body ministry. Somebody say body ministry. We're His hands and we're His feet. Hallelujah. We're the parts of His body. And I don't believe Jesus' body is placed in this earth, hallelujah, to sit around lazy and good for nothing. I believe Jesus' body should be about doing the Father's business. I don't see Jesus, amen, amen, laid up somewhere on the beach, amen, with a little drink with an umbrella in it, amen, getting him a suntan. I see Jesus walking the shores of Galilee. I see Jesus walking the dusty roads, amen, of the towns about him. I see Jesus coming into Jerusalem, and His passion was people. I said His passion was the lost. His passion was for the sinner and the ungodly. For God so loved the world, and He sent His only Son. My God. See, that was His passion, and that should be our passion. Somebody said, well, I joined the church. Well, I'm going to tell you what, that didn't do you no good at all. What you need to do is be born again. Joining the church ain't gonna make, no more make you a Christian. Amen. Like the old preachers used to say, then going to a barn makes you a cow. Amen. You need to be born again. Jesus said you must be born of the water and of the Spirit, or you cannot see the kingdom of God. Amen. Lord, we need to be born again, and we need people born again. Amen. And that love of Jesus, it comes with that new birth. Amen. The Bible says we have not received the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. I don't know about you, but I got a sound mind. You might not think it, but I still believe it. The Word of God has declared it. I've got power, I've got love, and I've got a sound mind. How many of you out there have got a sound mind? Well, that sound mind says this: we ought to be about the Father's business. We ought to be working and laboring till Jesus comes. Somebody said, well, I'm going to occupy till Jesus comes. And they're occupying, all right. They're occupying space. But the word occupy means to busy oneself. It's that four-letter word I talked about last week. Work. To occupy means to busy oneself. When America occupied Germany, they went there, didn't they? And they occupied it. They began to possess it. Well, I believe Jesus wants us to possess the kingdom and possess souls. Amen. He said, freely you have received, freely give. Can you say amen? Well, I don't know what you got, but I got salvation in me. I got deliverance in me. I've got the power of God in me. I've got love in me. I've got power in me. Can you say amen? I said, can you say amen? I've got a sound mind in me. I've got the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's in me and it's in you. If you got the Holy Ghost today, you got the revelation inside of you, but it's not the revelation that I want you to understand. Amen. It's the power of love and the power of compassion. If you got compassion, you got power. The Bible talks about joy. Amen. That the joy of the Lord is our strength. Well, if joy is our strength, then I'm telling you, compassion is also what we need to deliver mankind. God wants a revival, I believe. I don't believe he's ever changed. I believe he said, Jesus, that mankind might be saved. Not just two or three here and there, but that the whole world might be saved. Jesus didn't just die for a few. He died for the whole world. But we've got so sanctimonious, a lot of folks has. We've got our stained glass windows and our plush pews. Not here. In other words, we go about building what we think's right. And we forget the most important thing. And there's nothing wrong with having nice pews, nothing wrong with having a nice church, because I intend to have it here. There's nothing wrong with that. But our focus will never be on a building. It'll never be on a chair or a pew. It'll never be on carpet. It'll never be on stained glass windows. It'll never be on how big a building ought to be. It'll be on Jesus. It'll be on souls. Can you say amen? That's got to be that way. Because I tell you what, if it's any other way, God's not going to bless it. You'll wind up with a church full of hypocrites. Say amen. Well, I don't want a church full of hypocrites. I want a church full of men and women, boys and girls. Amen. They may not be perfect, but there's a mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus that they see. And they're struggling and they're fighting to attain unto the measure and to the stature of the fullness of Jesus. Amen. No, they may not be there yet. I may not be there yet. Amen. I might not look just exactly what you think I ought to look like, but my image, amen, has nothing to do with my relationship with Jesus. Praise God. We might not be there yet, but we got a goal. Amen. He's got a goal. My goal is to be like Jesus. My hope, my desire is to be like the Lord, to attain unto the resurrection of the dead, to attain unto the likeness of Christ, to attain unto the measure and the stature of him that has called us to be what the Bible says we ought to be. That's our goal. And to reach out with all the love and compassion that we can muster, that men and women and boys and girls will be saved. To look down on someone with no snooty, self-righteous attitude will never get nobody help. Can you say amen? We've forgotten where we come from. We've lost our compassion. Jesus said the love of many will wax cold. Because of what reason? Because iniquity shall abound, lawlessness. And so much sin, so much ungodliness, so much evil. Sometimes it works on our mind and our souls is vexed because of all the ungodliness that's in the world. And sometimes we cry out almost we feel a spirit of hate when we read about or we see about that situation I mentioned the other day where this young couple put their baby in a microwave or put a child in a dryer at the laundromat. You know, that's something you said, well, if I could just get my hands on that guy. Oh, y'all don't feel that way? Well, if you don't, you're not a very honest person. You know, first thing we need to learn to be is honest with ourselves. Is that the answer? No, see, that's not the answer. But we are human. And somehow, we've got to overcome our first human reaction to any kind of situations. And we need to come to that place, WWJD, what would Jesus do in that situation? What would he do? The angriest Jesus ever got. How many knows he got angry? He got upset. The angriest Jesus got upset was with religious people. You scribes, you Pharisees, you hypocrites. How shall you escape the damnation of hell? Well, your father's the devil. That's what he would tell them. Ain't that right? He gets so upset with them. Why? Because they was a bunch of self-righteous hypocrites. You worship him with your lips, but your heart is far from God. Being religious, see, is not our answer. Finding that first love again. Bathing ourselves in that first love is the answer. How many wants to see the church grow? Well, maybe we should have a membership drive. Put it in the paper. We ain't never going to have no membership drive. No. 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 Don't you look at me funny. We're not going to have no membership drive. We're going to have a revival. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something. When the Holy Ghost comes in, and Jesus is in the house, and people are getting saved and healed and delivered, you ain't got to worry about no membership drive. Come on. The whole town will know there's something going on down there, because the fire of God has come, and the fire is only going to come when there's a sacrifice. And when we get ready to sacrifice, the fire of God is going to come, and revival is going to be born, and men and women, boys and girls are going to feel the house of God. You don't need no membership drive. Oh, you're going to get that bunch of hypocrites who was at the other place anyway. You're going to just get a bunch of more trouble. No, it's the compassion, see. That's the key. God gave me this word, brother, several years ago, because I found myself getting very hard. You're talking about some work, some folks over. I could take that word and I'd cut you to pieces. I'd take the word of God. You hate me so much, you can't hardly take it. You can't stab me. Can you say amen? How many of you have been worked over? How many of you have been beat up? I've been beat up, brother. I'm telling you. I've been worked over by the best of them. And I know how to do it. But you know what, the Lord? He spoke to me about my compassion. You've lost your compassion. You've lost your compassion. And see, when you lose your compassion, there's no more revival. People ain't going to respond. Because, see, people can not only feel love, they can see it in you. I mean, I could come up here and preach a hard message, but I believe you'll see the love of Christ in me, because I'm telling you what, I have given myself over to the love of Jesus. And I know my shortcomings. I know I am least in the kingdom of God. I'm not even worthy to mention his name. So I have no right to condemn anybody for anything. Guess what? Y'all are too. I'm not the only one that's been in this kind of a mess. We've all been there. Say amen. We've all been there. But recognizing yourself, recognizing where you've been and where you are now, and recognizing the most important thing, why were you there and why are you here today? Because of Jesus, and that's the only reason. Not of your own works, lest any man should boast. You're saved by grace. If it were not for the grace of God, we'd never make it into the kingdom of God. And by his grace, we are saved through faith. So then how is God going to save everybody? Through his grace. What's he looking for? He's looking for a man, a woman he can operate through. What does he want to operate? He wants to show people his love, his mercy, his grace through you. When you walk around with a bad attitude, you're not showing God's grace. Say, Lord, help me with my attitude. because he's got an attitude adjustment that he can make. How many of you old boys remember what an attitude adjustment is? I tell you what, I got my attitude adjuster with me. See, I tell you what, when God begins to work on you, He's going to get your attention. What do we need, folks? Compassion. What do we need to do? Return to our first love. Can you imagine a body of people full of the love of Jesus, not considering themselves, but considering only someone else, continually reaching out to help lost mankind? Can you imagine a body of people coming together and praying, earnestly crying out to God for souls? To where souls is your burden. You want to see people saved so bad. Can you imagine what would happen? It would cause a revival. One time Jesus, the disciples, they come up there to Jerusalem, but up on the hillside looking down at it. I believe it was John and James. Said, Lord, you want us to call down some fire out of heaven and destroy the whole bunch? Ain't that what they said? Let's call down some fire and destroy them all. Kill them all. They ain't nothing but low down sinners. No how. Kill them. You know what Jesus said? You don't know what spirit you're of. One time he told Peter, he said, Peter, he called him Satan. He said, Satan, get behind me. You don't know what kind of spirit you got. Call Peter the devil. Anybody's ever read that in the Bible? What's there? Now, Peter wasn't the devil, but he was doing the devil's business. How many of us have been guilty of doing the devil's business? Come on. Honesty's the best policy. Ain't that right? Honesty's the best policy. Might well fess up now. You're going to be embarrassed at Judgment Day. No, we've all been guilty of doing the devil's work. How many of us turn that around? Father, fill me with compassion. Lord, give me the love of Jesus till my cup runs over. Fill us, Lord, with your compassion, your love, Lord. Help us to go about the Father's business in mercy and love and compassion, reaching out to a lost and dying world. God, that we might be, Lord, what you called us to be, soul winners. Lord, there's no telling how many souls could be won in this town. Lord, if we would just bind ourselves together and return to our first love, get filled again with the Holy Ghost of God, and let the love of Jesus and the compassion of God grip our hearts, to where we would go about and people would recognize that Christ was indeed in us because of our love. Oh, Father, touch every person here, Lord, in Jesus' name. Touch that one, Lord, that's bound. God, touch that one, Lord, that's in confusion. Touch that one, Lord, that's been doing the devil's work, but now God sees that they want the compassion, the love of Christ. Touch those, Lord, that desire to be soul winners, God. Touch those, Lord, that desire to return to their first love. Let your grace be here, Father. God, let your love be the dominant force that's felt in this building. When people walk in, Lord, they'll feel your love. Help us to deny ourselves, to take up the cross daily and to follow you, to crucify our wills, our desires, to crucify, God, what we would speak, Lord, but to be slow to speak, slow to anger. Help us, oh God, in this room, Lord, to be one people. God, those who've come here, Lord, that I don't recognize, they're just visitors, Lord. I feel a good spirit from them, Lord. And I ask you, Father, to mend us together in the unity of the Spirit. Bring us together in your love, Lord. Make us one people. Lord, you praise that, Father, make them one even as we are one. Let your prayer come to pass in this church. Let your prayer come to pass in this place, Lord. Speak to us, Father. Lord, that one that's nearest hell, God, I ask you to save them. God, that one is sick, heal. That one is discouraged, Lord, and their hearts is broken, Lord. Let your spirit begin to operate in their lives now. Bind up the brokenhearted. Give us faith, Lord. Replace our unbelief with faith. Replace our hatred and our malice in our hearts with the love and the compassion of God. Touch us this morning, Lord. We'll praise you for it. We'll magnify you for it. In Jesus' name.
Because he loved me, my Savior died. On a cross was crucified. No greater love by mortal man,
yes, Lord,
has ever been known.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, praise his dear name. He loved me so. Now I am
Hallelujah.
His. He's mine, I know.
Do you love him?
He suffered it all because he loved me.
Because
he loved me, my Savior.
Would you lift your hands with me?
On a cross,
holy hands,
crucified. No greater
cleansed by the blood of Jesus.
By mortal man has ever been known.
Hallelujah.
Because he loved me, my Savior died.
Come on, saints, sing it to the Lord.
On a cross was crucified. No greater love by mortal man has ever been known.
Hallelujah. Because he loved me,
my Savior died. On a cross was crucified. No greater love
because,
by mortal
because of you
has ever been known.
Because of you.
Because